You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Miles from Expired Film Club. Hi, Miles.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining us from across the pond, as they say. Hope it's not too late over there.
No, it's all good.
We're very excited to chat about all the things that you've got going on, Expired Film and that. But do you mind starting off by introducing yourself to our listeners and giving us a background on how you got into photography?
Of course. Yeah. So I have a social media presence that's called Expired Film Club. So that kind of gives some of it away in the name. It started off actually in lockdown, where I just really dived into film photography as a real passion. I had worked previously in the music industry, in the photography space and videography and stuff like that. But obviously it was more digital. Anyway, I was furloughed. And then, you know, when lockdown happened, I just had the chance to, I really just dive back into film photography. I hadn't done it since school, really. I studied photography at school in the UK here. And anyway, so lockdown came, I had all this time on my hands, and I started just really falling in love with film photography, and particularly just trying out old expired rolls of film. Yeah. So that's where the name of the account came from.
Yeah.
And I started posting videos of my kind of journey, you know, trying out all these weird and wonderful expired film stocks and just sort of taking it all from there. And it's all grown out now to the point where I'd shoot a lot of sports is what it's kind of tendency. So that's what my, I suppose my job is these days, is I shoot a lot of sporting occasions on film, expired film and fresh these days. But so in 30 seconds or so, that's kind of a short précis of how things started for me.
Now, were you shooting, you said you were shooting when you're in the music scene, you were shooting digital then? And then
I come from a bit of a sort of musical family. My dad's a radio presenter here in the UK,
and
my mum
cool.
Also produces like live music events, so we've worked together quite a lot, and I've always been into the cameras and photography and filmmaking. The music industry was where I spent a lot of my time. So that would be, you know, photographing album covers for bands or filming live sessions, gigs, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So that's where it started. And then sport kind of just evolved naturally out of what I was doing. But yeah, music's where things all started for me, really.
Wow. And you posted a whole video, which is very fascinating, about their transition. Like, this is your full-time gig, is like shooting sports events on film. And and in this day and age, we all know that that is quite a feat for many reasons.
Yeah.
I have lots of questions about it.
Yeah, go for it.
Mostly because, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, to people who will, you know, go to a job and be like, I would like to shoot on film. This is the budget that I need, blah, blah. People are asking you because of what they see on your social media that you created. Who are you shooting for? That do you have to explain this to people? Or this is kind of like, if you're hiring me, you this is what you get. Talk us through how that all started and how it works for you today.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I think I'm very lucky that I've managed to forge out this career for myself. It is all through social media. Again, I'm lucky because I think it's sort of a double-pronged attack as to what I can offer people, you know, in that way. So when clients approach me, I think they obviously want their, whether it's a team or a competition or a person wants me to go and shoot something for them on film. I think it's doubly that they get these old sort of retro vintage grainy photos, but also there's the social media side of it. And that reach that I now have, which I'm, again, I'm fortunate to say that.
Yeah.
So, so it normally happens now, where I've got like a contact form on my website, but also just Instagram DMs a lot of the time.
Wow. That's nuts.
You know,
I saw the New York Yankees sent you a DM, and I was like, what are you talking about?
I was going to say that was so funny because it was, I'm trying to think when it was, my brother turned 30 last year, and I think we were setting up for his party, and I just opened my phone. I just had a DM from @Yankees being like, hey Miles, love you to come and shoot a game for us. And I was like, hell yeah, that sounds great.
Wow.
So so again, lucky that seems to happen a lot these days where people reach out to me. I mean, it's amazing, the power of social media. It's incredible. You know, it would never have happened if I hadn't started posting in lockdown. So funny.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's really interesting working with, you know, sporting, like I say, it depends who approaches me. It's often a club or sometimes it'll be like a particular competition. But it's just, it's so cool to go along to these very modern, you know, sporting events, these crazy modern stadiums. And, you know, often I've got loads of really old cameras. Sometimes I use a camera from like, it's about 125 years old that takes big panoramas to
that camera is nuts.
So
I love to work with that camera.
Yeah, it's... I was blown away by how well the photos come out from that, actually, to be fair. So that ties in quite nicely because a lot of the time, if I'm approached by a club or something, it's often around some sort of anniversary. So that happens a lot as well, where, you know, I've had some football teams say, oh, hey, it's like our 125th anniversary year, you know, and we'd love you to come and shoot our stadium on a camera from the same sort of time as the club was founded. And all that sort of stuff is a kind of secondary part to it as well. That panoramic camera is a real hoot. It's a number one Kodak Panoram. And I have it here, actually, if you want to see it. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, listeners. We'll post a photo of it.
Sorry to anyone listening along. But I'll describe what it looks like. I mean, it's a lot like a kind of longer box,
like
brownie.
A treasure box.
Yeah, literally, yeah. So what's great about it is it's called a swing lens panoramic camera. So obviously the lens physically swings, which actually creates a panorama that is so sharp across the whole image because you don't get the bowel distortion on the edge of the lens because it literally, I'll show you, for anyone not watching, I apologize, I'm just going to show how the camera looks when you fire it.
Oh, wow.
There we go. So it kind of swings around. which is a lot of fun. Anyway, so that one, there's a guy on Instagram whose username, I think it's like Senpai Sky, and he's based in Texas. And I blame him for getting me into these panoramic cameras because I saw some videos of his and I was like, oh man, I have to get one of those. So I luckily found this one on eBay close to me. And so that is with me in most of my games that I go to these days as well.
What a score. What a cool camera.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So back to more of my questions. Sorry, Timothy, if you had anything.
No.
Just because I've shot like events and things here in LA, you know, we not only do we have to get the photos up before we go to bed at night, but we also sometimes I'm at an event uploading to an editor who's then curating and culling and then uploading to, you know, Getty or whatever. So it's like as fast as possible. Mm. I just love the idea of just like, all right, see you guys later. Have a good night. And then going home and being like, going to bed. I'm sending these out in the morning. Like when everybody else is like, hey, get, hurry, quick. We got to get it up. So you must be living the, that just sounds like a dream.
Yeah, it is. To be fair. It's so funny. And again, this is why I find myself very lucky that I've managed to forge this career out. Because, you know, 2025, such a digital, immediate world now, particularly sports photography as well, because, you know, sporting occasions and sporting stories, you have to get everything out straight away, like because obviously it's happening live.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny, you know, for me on the touchline at games a lot of the time, because like you say, all the other photographers, you know, they've got their laptops linked up to the Ethernet ports in the stadium, and they're like sending everything off straight away to go out to the agencies and to get
back
online
and forth with cards, like runners, you know.
So, but then I'm just, I mean, it's brilliant, but also then I always come away from a game and I'm like, oh my God, like, did
I
get
it?
Yeah.
And so there's always that moment of like, oh, like, I hope I got one. But in a funny way, it's sort of, it's more pressure, but it's also less, because I think the people who are there to get the shots to tell, you know, to send to, you know, social media and the news, get the shots. And so for me, I don't want to be getting exactly the same stuff, because that's, you know, by the time I get the roles back from the lab, it's already been and done. So I suppose it frees me up slightly a lot of the time at games to kind of look at things with a slightly different perspective and try and be a bit more cinematic, possibly about telling the story of a game, or if there's a, I don't know, a moment in the crowd, you know, and sorry, swinging the camera. So yeah, it's a fun experience. It's always interesting seeing all the other photographers looking at me like, why the hell is this guy still like?
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, what are the other photographers thinking of you when you're walking around with, you know, that 100-year-old camera, or they're, you know, it's what's the conversation there?
Those always get a lot of questions when I whack those out. I mean, a lot of the time, well, all the time, people are like, oh my God, that's really cool, which is very nice. But most people just look at me and just think, what the hell is this guy doing?
They're probably like, poor guy, like, he's not gonna get it.
Well, it's funny because, you know, breaking into the sporting world over the past sort of year or two has been a great learning experience for me. And I think actually it was the first ever Premier League football game I shot. I was on the touchline, sat next to a guy who'd been doing it for, you know, 30, 40 years. He was a real seasoned pro, and he'd obviously been through the days of, you know, shooting film. And I was talking to him about the process of how it worked back in the day with that, because obviously, like you say, sport is so quick, get it out. And so for those guys to make the evening newspapers, they'd have essentially, like you're saying, when they have the memory card runners these days, they'd have like a dark room runner. He was saying that for a football game, a soccer game, every 20 minutes or so, there'd be a guy that would come around and tap all the photographers on the shoulder, take all the rolls of film that they'd shot, go and process them, pick out the select photos, and then start to send them out to newspaper publications and everything to make the evening newspapers to go out the next day. So it's changed a lot since then. It's so funny because a lot of the older photographers who've been doing it for ages look at me shooting film and they're like, oh, thank God I don't have to do that anymore.
But then
loads of the younger photographers who've only shot digital look at it and like, oh my God, that's really cool. It's like, there's such a funny like cross-section at games, but I love it.
Man, I'll never forget when I was little, my dad was in this band that got to play, it was like a preseason Eagles game. He got to play on the field and I got to be on the field of the Vet Stadium. And it was, I mean, I'll never forget this because one, athletes, you don't realize how big they are until they're in front of you. And I was 12 years old. So I was a little kid, you know, I was a little guy, but I'll never forget the photographers. They're, you know, they were shooting how we shoot, you know, whatever, 20 frames a second. I don't even know what these cameras do these days, but they were just blasting shots. And I remember canisters and the lids of the canisters and just so much. Yeah. It was like a sea of plastic film canisters everywhere. Yeah. And just, I think I still probably have somewhere with my memorabilia of that, but just I'll never forget that. And I remember there being like developers in there was a room, there was like a dark room at
the, inside the stadium sometimes.
Just wild to think like the progression of technology and photography.
So they were basically they were just going as fast as they could go at that time. If you think about it.
I mean, they're shooting like a roll of every 30 seconds or something. They're just, you know, there's the play, there's the play, there's the play, you know, send it off. It's, and now you get to do it like artfully, which is very nice. You know, take your time with it, compose. And it's
cool. That's it.
Which is what I wanted to touch back on. Whenever I'm on a job, I you get caught up on like, I have to get the thing that they want. I have to get the you're like, you miss like all the like other moments or like, you know, BTS, it would have been cool, but I'm like, I got to get this thing. So having that freedom of not having to worry about that must be like exhilarating to like just.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think it's a nice thing because always when I'm contacted by a client and, you know, they say, oh, we'd love you to come and shoot this game, I always ask them, you know, is there anything you particularly want me to get? Is there a direction you want us to go in? And it's nice because actually a lot of time they're just like, no, you just do your thing. Yeah. Just like, you know, you shoot what you think you'd like to, which is lovely. Yeah, like I say, it is very exhilarating because it means you can kind of just look at things in a completely different way, and you can shoot the moments that you'd like to shoot. Obviously, at a sporting game, I want to get, you know, if there's that amazing moment that happens, obviously I want to get photos of it.
Right.
But yeah, it's nice to be able to have a bit of freedom, and, you know, sometimes I'll wander up into the stands and, you know, get some stuff from the fans' perspectives, and, you know, maybe before the game, teams sometimes let me in the locker rooms, and I'll you know, take some stuff of the jerseys so cool. hanging up in there and things like that. So it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Do you ever feel limited by the fact that it's film? Like if you're ever like in a dark locker room and you're like, well, I don't, like the 300 is what I got, and I don't know, it could be too grainy, you know, like there's a lot to be done with digital these days.
Yeah.
Like shooting in these dark, you know, places. Do you ever feel like?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously I make life hard for myself by, you know, shooting film. Yeah. And also on these older cameras like this Panoram, I'm not even sure what the shutter speed or aperture is of this, but I think it's like somewhere around f11 and like a, I don't know, a hundredth of a second or whatever. So, you know, you're very, that's it. That's, you know, that is the settings.
Right. So I
mostly always use Delta 3200 in this, just because I know I'll be able to get some stuff even if it's a night game. So yeah, it does. There are moments, I think the moment is actually where I find film the most difficult is if there's a lot of action happening and I've spun through a roll of film. And it's in the chain. If I always have to be really careful because it's really easy, you know, at a sports game to just be firing away and like spraying the shutter and just getting stuff all over the place. But over time, I've learned that I need to be a lot more patient, because what I don't want, and it's happened a few times, is to have used up a roll of film or like got to like frame 34 or whatever, and then a goal goes in right in front of me. And I take two photos, and then and then you lose the moment, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Or like I'll be changing a roll of film and then suddenly something amazing happens right in front of me and I'm like, oh, well, crap, I just completely missed that. So I suppose there's those moments. And then also, the limitations of the ISO of the film. A lot of the time at games, you know, if I'm working with the social team, they'll be like, oh, quickly come with us. You know, there's this thing happening over here. And I'll be like, okay. And I'll grab whatever I've got and stick some rolls of film in my pocket. And if I get to, like say a locker room, or if it's I don't know, something like that, and it's a lot darker than I was expecting, and I've got like, you know, Kodak Gold in my bag or whatever, and I'm like, it's not really going to come out great. So it's a constant learning process of just in making sure to be ready for all eventualities. I have like at least three different camera bodies with various lenses on at all times. So even if one of them's run out, I'll just switch to the other one. And there's ways to get around it. And it does make life more difficult, obviously, than if you've got a mirrorless that you just spray 1,000 photos and pick your favorite.
12,800
ISO. Exactly. But there's something that much, it's why we all shoot film, isn't it? Because there's something that much more satisfying about when you nail it. And you're just like, yes, like, because you have to be so in control of everything, I suppose, don't you? And you know, when those moments come out and you're like, that came out just how I imagined it would, is great.
Now with the expired film stuff,
are you
finding it harder now with the popularity of film, finding like the great say, because I used to see it everywhere. Old expired film was like literally everywhere,
and so and cheap now it's as well.
I
do find it a lot harder now. eBay, I tend to go on there quite a lot, and actually nowadays I get people reach out to me if they've got, you know, a load that they wanted to get rid of and stuff like that. So which is good. It's even since I started the account, which, you know, was how long ago would it have been, 2-3 years ago, I guess. Even in that space of time, like, obviously there's a finite amount of it in the world, isn't there, because like so every year time goes by, there's less and less of it around, and the price goes up more and more. You can still find it if you keep an eye out on like auction sites, even just going into, you know, old photographic stores. Sometimes they'll have little bargain bins of expired film or stuff like that, but it is getting a little bit more difficult to find. Do you guys shoot any expired film yourselves?
So that's my other thing. I don't love it. So I don't shoot a lot of it. Just the unpredictability of it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I
like the fun.
I know. I guess I gotta, you know, it has to be something where I'm like, this is gonna be this little expired film moment in time that I'm gonna do and see what happens. Yeah. But I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a control freak that I'm like, I need
I do get it. And it's It's always annoying where if you take a roll of expired film out and you think you're going to get some lovely stuff back in and it comes out, it's just like,
I have shot it before and I've had success, but it's just, you know, when I know something's freshy,
I know.
Grab that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, obviously, because with all the, you know, this high profile sporting games I do, I actually don't shoot nearly as much expired film now as I did when I started the account, because like you say, it's such an, I mean, the film's got that slight unpredictability about it anyway, but
yeah.
I need to make sure that if I'm, you know, if I'm shooting for Manchester United, that's I just like get all the results back and I'm, oh, sorry guys, actually it looks like crap.
I was thinking that too. I was thinking of what was your, or what is your success rate with the expired film? Do you ever just get some complete duds where you've gone into a situation and it's just like, wow, that didn't work out at all?
Yeah it can happen. I mean, there are various things you can do, I suppose, to try as much as you can to guarantee that expired film is going to come out well. Lower ISO film tends to hold up better over time.
Okay.
And obviously, it depends if you can find out how it was stored, which obviously a lot of the time
that's
you can't.
Big one. Yeah.
And black and white negative film holds up the best by far, then color negative. Slide film is a real lottery. And a lot of the time I found that expired slide film just really doesn't work.
Wow.
I'm not sure why that's so much more like it really can go completely crazy. I think I always try and make sure to like, if people ask me for advice on shooting expired film, I always say outside on a nice sunny day, get as much light as you can. Because obviously that's the thing with expired film, well, all film, as time goes on, it just gets less sensitive. That's, you know, part of the exploration process. So always overexpose it. You know, I'm sure you've heard the rule of like one stop per decade since expiry, which is a kind of good roughish rule to follow. The higher the ISO, I find you need to overexpose it more. I'm trying to think some of the older rules. I think Kodak used to make some Ektar 1600 possibly, or 800, and I shot some of maybe not Ektar, it was called VR. It's like VR 1000, that's what I'm thinking of. And I had a couple of rolls of that and shot one at like 500 and it was just... that you can make anything else. I shot another roll at 25 and that was okay. Yeah, so you just try and negate it as much as you can. But there has been times where I've got some rolls back and it's just completely unusable.
I have a roll of Ektachrome from the year I was born in 1983 in my frame.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Nice.
And I kind of want to go shoot it, although I feel like probably won't get much.
Well,
it's scary.
I don't know how it was stored until I got it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's always worth a go, I guess. It's up to you. That's the thing with slide film, it can go a bit wild. But then, I've also shot some expired slide film and it's just like, it looks like it hadn't even expired. So I suppose it's luck of the draw, isn't it, a lot of times.
Maybe I should do it on my birthday this year, that roll.
I was just going to say that.
Should have done it for my 40th, but oh well.
Nice.
Easy. So, Miles, do you think you'll ever pivot back into the music scene with this like newfound popularity that people have seen with the film stuff? Or do you think you'll like, are you solely like, I grew up with that, I want to stay over here in sports?
Yeah, no, I love shooting music. I do, you know, still do some bits here and there. And but for sure, would love to carry on. I mean, the sport stuff, if I'm honest to myself, like sport and photography are my two real passions. So being
You're
able to marry them together has just been an absolute dream come true for me.
Wow.
But music I absolutely love as well. And I do, some projects through the year with music stuff. I shoot some festivals.
Cool.
And here and there, artists will approach me to go and shoot some stuff. I actually had something recently, which annoyingly, I don't know whether you guys know of him that much in America. There's a British artist called Sam Fender. Have you heard of him? He's
it's not ringing a bell for me. I'll have to look him up.
It was a really fun idea. We got a load of custom disposable cameras made to hand out at one of his shows recently. Although when we got to the show, he had cancelled because he was ill. Anyway, it's been rescheduled. They're all sitting in my film fridge to my left, which I need to use them for. But so yeah, I've had a few little projects like that as well, which has been a lot of fun.
That's a great idea.
And I love doing music stuff as well. So yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, anything. I just love shooting film. So if it's a cool project, then I'll be there. It's a bit of a goal of mine over the next year or so to try and do some kind of more travel photography as well. So we'll see if we can progress that side of it as well. That'd be a lot of fun, because I found myself, I mean, last year I spent so much time traveling to and from sports games. And so I think maybe trying to pair that with like going and exploring whichever city I'm in and doing some travel photography whilst I'm there would be a lot of fun. Yeah. So we'll see. That would be great.
Talk to you about social media a little bit with, you know, with your videos. I mean, it seems like the stuff you shoot, it's just you, right? You're kind of just going with yourself. And it's just neat how things have changed so much with, it seems like you have a lot of success with the short form videos. Because that's how I found your work. I think it was like maybe Instagram Reels or maybe even TikTok or something like that. I forget what it was, but I don't know what... What got you into that? Like, how did you get into the whole video? Is video like a part of what you love doing? Was it just sort of pandemic got you shooting video to do stuff? Like, what broke you into the whole social media video scene?
I mean, I've always had that side to me. I've always done like video stuff, but specifically, I suppose it's the sort of style of videos that I do with Expired Film Club. It was a lockdown thing. Really, I mean, I remember, when I started the account, it was just on TikTok, I think, to start with, and I was just posting on there, you know, with, like some weird expired films that I'd shoot and the results and all that sort of thing. And I was posting on there for a few months, and I was away. Me and my wife were having a weekend away down south in the UK here, and I asked her to film me loading a roll of expired film over this cove in Cornwall by the sea, because I don't know, just thought it was like a, you know, a nice vista and with the old roll of film and all that sort of stuff. So edited that up and posted it. And that was my first video to kind of go sort of viral, I guess. And so I saw that and I thought, okay, well, maybe this format might work as a repeatable thing. So that's where it started, really. And so I started doing more of those where I, you know, if I found myself in a particularly beautiful place, I'd do those sort of POV videos of me loading the film and then looking through the viewfinder and showing the results of that roll of film. And so that's
my favorite part. I love that part when you go to the viewfinder and you look through it. It's like, oh,
love it. Thank love you. It. Yeah. So that was where that started, and it evolved very organically, I guess. So I just, for the first kind of year or so, really, it was literally just me wandering about everyday life and, you know, taking a camera with me and just showing what I was shooting that day. And then because I'm a sports fan anyway, I go to a lot of sports games. And so I started doing those from the crowd with like little point shoots and stuff. And that led to clubs getting in touch. And so that's about how it all kind of went on from there. But social media has always been something I've kind of done, I suppose, in a funny way. And so it was kind of natural for me just to, again, because I was furloughed and everything, I just had all this time that I could just dedicate and just delve right in, which, you know, if it's so funny that all happened, because I don't know if I would have even started the account because of all that, really. It's funny.
It's amazing how many guests we have on the show nowadays who have a similar story to where their life has gotten completely thrown off track and gone down this photography road, all because they had this time just focus on it. Which I think, out of such a tragedy, like, it's really a beautiful thing to see somebody's life get uplifted like that, just because we have the time to like focus on something else that maybe we never thought about before, you know, which is crazy.
It seems so interesting, isn't it? Obviously, it was a horrible things to have happened to the world, but I don't know, it was funny. Like, I don't know if it was the same in the US, but particularly, so we had like, I suppose it was like sort of three different bouts of lockdowns here in the UK. And the first one, and the first one was, I think it was in summer, and the weather was great. And I don't know, it was a funny one where like, it kind of, it brought in the sort of beauty of just like home life again for a bit. And like, it just kind of helped to set our priorities a bit more straight for me anyway. Like, you know, it's not all about rushing into the office and working your 9 to 5 and everything. Yeah. It's about like, you know, tending to a garden and I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
a bit like we got to know all our neighbors really well and all that sort of stuff, and your community, which, it was, that was kind of the nice side of it, if there was one, I suppose. And then also, just having that time to pursue passions that we wouldn't have had, I suppose, if not for it.
It's
nice.
Crazy.
Yeah, I still regret not doing more during that time. I think about it now. It's like, man, I wasn't doing anything. I mean, I was taking photos. I didn't have kids yet either.
I could have been doing lots of stuff.
Man. Okay.
How old are your kids, Chris?
My kids are going to be 3 and 1 in February.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. So you created something pretty special then.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. And documenting them on film is like my new passion. So that's
inside of that too. Me and my wife have just got a little dog. So he's my main subject.
Cute. Okay. I guess my next question, because you have such an audience, do you ever see yourself, like, I'm sure people message you all the time, just like, how do I do it? Tell me about Expired Film. Do you ever think you'll put out maybe more like lessons type thing, or like host like a little seminar for people? Mm-hmm. You know, your audience is so big, you could probably host like a little meetup or something where a lot of people would turn up to pick your brain.
Yeah, I have thought about that. And I think it's something I'd like to do this year. Again, it's something I would love to do at some point is, Maybe have a little community thing. I do. Obviously, my DMs are completely open, and I love getting questions from people asking me whatever they'd like to about film photography, and I love giving people advice. So yeah, I'd love to do that actually.
To
host some sort of like a webinar or even an in-person thing. We have a lot of really good photo walk groups here in the UK, and I work very closely with a lab here called Analog Wonderland who do
Analog Wonderland.
I love those guys.
What's up, guys?
Big up Analog Wonderland. They are so all of my work. They process.
Oh, wow.
So they're just like the absolute dons of the game over here. They're so great to me. Anyway, I have done a couple of photo walks with them. Where people are just wander, I don't know, through the streets of London and shoot some film and ask questions and ask for advice. And so I'd definitely like to do more of those as well, some meetups and photo walks and things here in the UK. That'd be really nice. And also, I should be over in the States a fair few times, over the year as well. So maybe I should try and plan to do some meetups.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's what I love about this community just in general is like the meetups and the gatherings and it's just like the best to just meet up and be nerds together. It's my favorite.
I was going to say it's a very safe space to all be as geeky as we want to be.
Yeah, I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is great.
Second part of that question, do you sell your prints? I imagine that fans of these, big sports games would love to, buy some of your work. Do you plan on putting a book out, doing a show, anything like that in the works?
So yeah, I do. I have a print store online. So if you go on my website, you can buy prints of my selected works. And yes, I am actually in talks with somebody about having an exhibition at some point this year, which would be really fun. Mm. And also about a coffee table book. I'm hoping if sort of a sports on film kind of vibe.
Oh, we're
in talks about making all that happen this year as well, which would be really nice. But for the time being, you can buy prints of my favorite photos on my website. Coffee table book it's always been a real dream of mine to have my own coffee table book. So I'm hoping to make that happen this year as well. That'd be great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How does that work with, I don't know much about sport, event, concert, photography. I mean, anytime I've done it was for friends and stuff. Mm. Do you get to retain kind of all the rights of that stuff, or do you have to, how does that all work? Is it still your work, or
so
are you allowed to use it? Do you have to get permission? How does that work?
Basically, so unless you sign a contract that says otherwise, the copyright of the photo stays with the photographer in that situation.
Oh,
so
cool.
There's been some times where I've worked for sports teams and they want to retain ownership of stuff, and in that case we'll draft up a document and you have to sign that if that's what they want to do. But no, most of the time, if you're at a sports game and shoot some photos, then you're free to do with them what you'd like to, which is
that's
nice.
That's great.
But there's been some, I'm trying to think, not many where over the past year or so I've worked for a club, and because it was a certain special occasion or something, they wanted to retain copyright to be able to use for their own stuff. So in that case, you just have a contract to sign. But no, otherwise, you retain the copyright, which is nice. Yeah.
Is that because you're shooting for the club and not if you were shooting for a publication, I feel like that might be different.
Possibly. Possibly. I'm quite a unique case really, I guess, with what I do, because I'm not representing an agency or a publication. I'm just I'm normally working directly with the club, so I guess maybe that makes things easier.
You're in the sweet spot.
I guess.
That's awesome. I mean, that's great.
Mm. I do love
that's
it.
That's great.
Because
then you don't have to fight for the photos for, say, your coffee table book.
Or, please, can I use this photo that I took?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. No, it makes it a lot easier. It's nice. And, you know, the longer things go on, I think people, you know, aware that I'll be, you know, coming along and selling prints and stuff. So, it's unwritten things that they're happy for you to do, which is good. Yeah.
Love that.
Now, are you on the back end of the photography? Are you kind of like sending your stuff out to a lab? Do you have a dark room? Are you into developing? Like, where are you at on that spectrum?
Yeah, for sure. So I did develop everything myself, and it just very quickly got to the point where it was way too much for me to do myself.
Yeah.
So it gets overwhelming.
Analog Wonderland here in the UK do all my stuff for me. So, or if I'm abroad somewhere and I'm, you know, I was shooting something and they need to get the results back the next day, which is often the case, then I'll find a lab local to me where I happen to be in the world. But no, most of the time it's good old Analog Wonderland here in the UK. So they're actually, where they're located here in the UK is really convenient for me, because particularly if I'm doing a shoot in London, which I work in London quite a lot, they are quite literally on my way home.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
So it's great. So I literally, if I've shot a London club, I'll take all my rolls of film, pop them through the letterbox, and then, by, I don't know, 2 p.m. the following afternoon, they've got everything out to me, which is amazing. Mm.
And I imagine they, you know, having a lab that you trust with this like inspired film stuff is like, you know, must be pretty important, because if you don't specify specifically, I feel like people are like, oh, I did the best I could. You're like, well, can you give it a little more love, please?
Yeah, no, it's great. I have a really, really good relationship with the guys there. I mean, the whole lab team is fantastic. And I wholeheartedly trust them with all of my stuff. And it's nice as well, because we've kind of, I suppose it would have been sort of the start of last year that we started our sort of working relationship together in that way. And over that time, you know, we've both kind of just, we know exactly how it all works now. I mean, poor old Max is the name of the lab manager. And he must dread every time I text him, because I'm like, oh, just to let you know, I'm dropping off 25 rolls from the this game.
Sorry, Max.
Yeah. And it's always quite urgent as well, obviously, but with the sports stuff. So I'm sure there's been times where the entire team's been cursing me, like putting their turnaround times.
Shout out to Max.
They're great. shout out Max and everybody there. The one unique case for this was I shot for the New York Jets last year, the NFL team.
Yes, and that was the first video I saw of yours. And I was just like, I'm a football person.
Yeah. So. Nice. Well, so that was a really special one, because they got in touch with me and they were like, oh, we'd love you to come. What it was, there it was like a throwback uniform day.
Oh, something
like
that. They're wearing
throwback jerseys. So they're like, oh, we'd love you to come and shoot the game. Would you be able to get the results ready to post before the game's finished? And I was like, maybe. So I got in touch with Analog Wonderland, and Will from the lab team there flew out with me.
No way.
And turned one of the bathrooms at the MetLife Stadium into a little portable dark room. And we did, I shot the first quarter, handed him a load of the rolls of film. He processed them all, scanned them in, and sent them to me. And we got them out before the end of the game on social media.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Which was loads of fun.
I mean, can't be done. That's what we talked about in the beginning. That's what they did back in the day. So.
Well, that's it. Yeah. It can be done. That was loads of fun. So with that, we did. So he brought out all the chemicals, the chemical powder in his luggage. And we used one of the Valoy, DSLR scanning systems. I don't know if you've seen those. Uh-huh. It's so funny. So I wandered onto the, you know, touchline, I was shooting the stuff, and then Will had set up in the bathroom. But the water situation was particularly interesting on that one, because they didn't have like a kettle or anything like that. So I think Will had to like get bowls of water and microwave them to pour into a bin to fill up enough that we could submerge the chemicals in that.
Oh, I love
it.
I love it.
Talk about stressful. It's going to be stressful just hearing the story.
I know. It was, but that it worked out great. I mean, I was really, really impressed at how good a job Will did on all that. Yeah, it was loads of fun. But quite, I'm sure. I mean, definitely Will was feeling pretty stressed at certain points during during that day.
I bet. Oh.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though. I love it.
We'll be right back with listener question from Miles right after this message from our sponsor.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Development Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We also try to get a former guest for these. So it's season 9, so we're kicking off a whole new year of Development Hangs. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from our listeners. We're going to do two this time. The first one is from KJ Brent, and they wanted to know, what type of feedback have you gotten from those athletes that have come across your photos? It's a pretty cool question.
It is a cool question. Yeah. It's been nice, actually. Yeah, particularly. So in the UK, I'm a Manchester United fan, and I got really, really lucky last season. Basically, there's a competition here in the UK called the FA Cup, which is actually the oldest football competition in the world.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And Man United won the FA Cup last year, and I was employed by the FA to shoot some of the tournament. But just by, literally by chance, because I didn't know which games I was going to get, I got assigned the Man United fixtures for the quarterfinal and for the semi-final, and obviously for the final. I got to shoot this all on film. It was amazing. Anyway,
what a dream come true.
There was a moment. So there's a rivalry in the UK here. Man United's biggest rival is probably Liverpool, and we played them in the quarterfinal, and it was the most insane game. And Man United won it 4-3 with a goal in the very, very last minute, and the goal went in like right in front of me, and
the
players were so, anyway, after that, we posted everything on social media, and I had a few of the Man United squad members reach out and say whether I could send them some photos, which is very, very cool. There's a player for us called Kobbie Mainoo. I actually was in America, and I was in Nashville at the time, and I just shot the FA Cup final, possibly. Anyway, I woke up in the morning, rolled over and checked my phone, as you know, you probably shouldn't first thing in the morning. But, and I just had a DM on Instagram from @Kobbie, and he messaged me. And I thought it was a wind up. I didn't think I was like, this can't be. But he was like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was like, hey, bro, love the photos you took. Could you send them to me? And he just sent me his phone number.
Text you the photo? Yeah, God.
So I just texted him and was like, oh, hey Kobbie, here are the photos I took. And so every time I shoot a United game now, I text Kobbie the photos I get of him.
Oh, wow.
And he posts them online. I think probably the most gratifying moment of all, though, was so the Man United's captain is a player called Bruno Fernandes. And after the FA Cup final, I got an email from a staff member at Man United saying that Bruno had asked him specifically to reach out to me because he wanted me to send some of the photos to him to get framed for his house. And so at that point I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. there's been a few real like pinch me, oh my God, I can't believe this is my life moments. But I think that's possibly a favorite. Whether he actually did print them and frame them in his house, I don't know. I like, you know, part of me likes to think that, you know, one of my photos is in Bruno Fernandes' house somewhere. That would be a real amazing thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild. Oh, yeah. Man, great.
Well, you should
story.
Have done this, and I'll print them and frame them for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'll come around.
That
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
would have them.
Yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll come around with my hammer and nail and stick them on the wall for you.
Yeah, I'll make one for you too. Who do you mean? Where are they going? The bedroom, kitchen, bathroom? Where do you want them?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's a great question and a great answer. Mm, holy smokes. Miles, we're going to take one more question for you, if that's all right with you.
Of course.
This was a great question because I think you probably have a little bit of knowledge on this. The question comes from New Gold Dreamer 82, and they ask, what film stock would you most love to see resurrected in 2025?
Okay. Well, I suppose for my professional work, I've said for ages I wish that somebody would make a 1600 ISO color film, because that would really help me out. So I guess I think it was maybe a Fuji Press 1600, which was used quite a lot back in the day. Also, there was the Fuji Natura 1600, wasn't there? That's like the most those expired rolls sell for like $300, don't they, on eBay?
You know what? I'll tell you, Miles. Yeah. I have two in my fridge.
Do you?
Oh,
well, I do.
If you ever want somebody to relieve them, then just let me know.
I just get afraid that, like, what if they're duds? Because I've only had them for how long? I don't know where they were before or what, you know?
Do it.
Yeah.
But I guess, is that like a thing you sign away? Like, I am not responsible for what results are.
Yeah, I guess But so, yeah, I think a 1600 ISO color film would be really helpful for me for the night games I shoot. That would be great. Otherwise, I'm trying to think which expired stocks I've really enjoyed. I was lucky enough to find a roll of Kodak Aerochrome on Facebook Marketplace, actually, sold by somebody local to me. And I shot that once, and that was a hoot. So I think novelty value, I'd love to shoot more Aerochrome. So maybe that. Yes. But in terms of like actual practicality and stuff that I would use every time I did a shoot, some sort of 1600 ISO color film would really do me a favor. What about you guys?
That same. I want a 1600 color. That would be, I miss it. Because I used to shoot a lot of 1600 Superior, which you could just buy at your pharmacy, your Walgreens and stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Have you ever tried pushing like a portrait to 1600 or anything like that?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I'm a big, I like grungy, so I'm always pushing doing something crazy. But if I was doing something professionally, it would be hard for me to do something like that. I'd be pretty by the book, I guess, unless I'm doing it in my style. But if I was, What about you, Chris?
Well, the closest thing that I have, you know what I love? I love my Lomography F2400, which is
old. You do love that film. Yes.
Ferrania color film, right? Mm. I have my little stash, which I've been made a point to shoot because I want to do something like, whether put them in a book or whatever, just to like an ode to this film that I love so much. Mm. But yeah, I hope that could come back. I mean, it's Ferrania. I don't know, Ferrania, you want to get that color stock going again?
Yeah,
there's a lot of Ferrania drama going online right now, so we don't know.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. There's there is a new color film coming out of China now, isn't there? The Lucky film, right?
I did see that.
Which I saw recently, which is...
And then, of course, the folks over at... Harman Photo are working really hard to get their new color stock going.
Yeah, it's exciting.
The Phoenix.
Have you shot any Phoenix?
I have.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I mean, it's funny because I went down there for the launch of it, before it launched, and with Analog Wonderland, actually. We were filming some interviews with the team, and they were very clear and being like, we know this isn't perfect, and we know it's a bit quirky, but it's the first step into creating a color film from scratch, and I really respect what they're doing. I think it's really cool.
100%.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's cool. And I think there's, there can only be good things that will come over the next few years, hopefully, of them just experimenting more and more. And Ilford's always my choice for black and white as well. The Ilford Delta 3200 is, if I'm shooting sports, that's always the one I turn to for the fast shutter speed.
That film has such a look, too. Like, it's such a specific look with that film. Very, very good film.
Yeah, it's obviously very, very grainy. But but I feel like people who are hiring me, that's part of the appeal.
Exactly. Great question, great answers. I love that.
And now we have to do the camera questions. There's two of them.
Go for it.
The first one is usually the hardest. It is there one camera, the desert island, rest of your life, one camera, Your ride or die, what's it going to be and why?
So I'll tell you the cameras I love that won't be on Desert Island with me. So professionally, my absolute workhorse is a Canon EOS 1V, it was designed for sport and news photography, and it's just an absolute beast of a camera.
I need one of them.
Oh, that's great. I've got one with the power winder attachment at the bottom of it, and it can spin through 6 frames a second or something, so you can really, you can use that for roll film really quickly. So I love using that professionally, but I don't necessarily know particularly why, but I've just always been in love with my Canon F1. It's always just been, I don't know what it is. I love the modularity of it and the fact that you can switch out the viewfinders. The FD range of glass is just like, so many really, really lovely lens options and all the various accessories you can get for it and stuff. And I love how it feels, I love how it looks. So I think, possibly the Canon F1 would be my ride or die.
That's a great, it's out of frame. If you see Mario right there, my F1's like right there.
Oh, nice.
such a great camera.
Yeah, I do. I love it.
Yeah, that's been your ride or die for years.
Well, no, mine was the FTB. They're like,
the FTB,
consumer camera. It was just like one of those first ones you fall, you go to the Goodwill or wherever. I found one and it just... Yeah. I clicked and resonated. I just love Canon. I'm a Canon.
Same. I've always been Canon as well. I don't even know particularly why, but always shot Canon.
Same. Man. All right. So part two. Part two is the white whale. I'm sure there's something out there that you got your eye on that's like in your eBay cart or you're lusting after.
It doesn't even have to be like for like we work. Is there anything you want just like for personal work? Anything that's go a little slower with?
I mean, it's a pretty basic answer, but I've never had my hands on a Leica M6, so I feel like that's always on the list. Same with like an X-Pan, that's I think top of,
I want an X-Pan.
I think it's top of a lot of people's lists. So maybe one of those. I'm trying to think if there's medium format camera. I mean, I've always liked the look of a Mamiya 7, possibly, which again I'm not ventured too far into. But if there was one of those, I think possibly. Possibly the Leica, just because I feel like it's the holy grail for most people, isn't it? And just I think having one of those around your neck and one of those like short leather straps, just is the vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
So,
guilty over here, guilty.
So maybe that, and then I mean, there's loads of one of the things I'd love to do is like with the panoramic camera I was showing you guys earlier is like discovering those crazy weird cameras that are rare and I never would have heard about, had it not been for the social media side of what I do and all that sort of thing. So I'm always on the hunt for a new like crazy camera to add to the arsenal to have in my camera bag. So I'm not sure what that would be at the minute. I actually want to start doing some large format stuff at some point, possibly. I think having the right occasion, the right sporting occasion and having a large format camera would be.
You got to get these clubs to like, you're like, I'll do portraits of the team.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what? Actually, and I know I keep banging on about Man United, but there was a campaign. I think it actually was for, I'm wearing a jacket it's like a vintage Man United jacket. And when they released this, two seconds. I'm just going to look this up because I think the promo campaign for this jacket was shot on an old large format camera by campaign was shot on film by Hollywood legend and United fan Gary Oldman using a vintage Chamonix camera. So large format, black and white photos of the players wearing these jackets. And I think doing some sort of campaign like that would be a real dream. So, using one of those older cameras to do that, I think would be really cool.
Wow. How cool would that be? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. So maybe something like that.
Put
as well.
It out in the universe, Miles. We're putting it
out. We're putting it out there now.
Yeah, we'll manifest it. See what we can do.
I love it. Anything else, Timothy? This has been.
No, that's
just what I needed. These crazy times.
I'm jacked up right now.
Miles, thank you so much. Where can everybody check out Expired Film Club? Plug yourself. Where can everybody see your stuff?
Thank you for having me, first of all. It's been a real pleasure talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Literally, at Expired Film Club across all social media. You go and give me a follow if you fancy it. And like I said, well, like we were saying in the podcast, if anyone wants to sling me a DM and ask some advice or questions or whatever, always open to chatting. So please get in touch. But yeah, just at Expired Film Club, and expiredfilmclub.com is my website.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Timothy Makeups, bunch of my stuff there, timothymakeups.com. That's it for me. Where are you, Chris?
I am Chris B. Photo on all the things, Instagram, Threads, YouTube. We are Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram and Analog Talk Podcast on Threads.
Yeah.
Miles, thank you for staying up late with us. This has been so awesome to just get to talk all things photo, and we love what you're doing over
here.
Thank you, guys.
Keep it up. Yeah, obviously, really, really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye. All right. First off, Chris and I would love to thank Miles for coming on the show. Miles, what a great story. What a great career. We love your videos. We love your work. Crazy, crazy story. You know, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. It's one of those situations. But again, Chris and I would love to thank you for coming on the show, for kicking off the new season, and we love what you're doing and can't wait to see what the future holds. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk for only $1. You can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hangs over there and a bunch of stuff in the archive. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For all the patrons that already help support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you so much. All right, so that's it. It's the start of season 9. Chris and I are back. All new episodes. All right, guys, keep listening. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon with all new episodes. And awesome. Later.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.